Amen. Kind of a little hair out of sync today, but that's okay. Could have used Drano. Hair out of sync. Anyway. Just meditate just 1 minute here.
Oh yeah, no problem.
Okay, the AAA back.
Meditate on his goodness.
Yes, you should have plenty of
that. Yes, Lord.
Somebody said, when I thought, think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me.
Yes, yes.
Cries out, hallelujah.
Yes. Thank God. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
He even knows me.
Not so brief. Amen. But we do thank God for letting us be here today.
Yes.
And being clothed and in our right mind.
Yes.
So many things. We have been blessed. Thank God for Sean and the dance.
That was
a great dance rendition. Amen. And all of I remember when.
Yes.
Folks, we thank God for you. Amen. Just such a blessing to be in the house of worship one more time.
Yes.
Amen. Thank God for Brother Frank Johnson being in the house with us today.
Amen.
It's a blessing to be here.
And all of you, my father's children.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Amen. We're going to go ahead without delay. We have a word from the Lord. And we want to just take a minute to get into some defining factors of the love of Christ, because we've been talking about learning how to love like Jesus. Amen. And when Jesus had gotten out the grave, as we have mentioned, and he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, that was literal, all power. There's nothing else or no one else that has more power than he, because all power, meaning any power anything else has, it belongs to me.
Yes.
It's like we say in that song, blessing and honor and glory and power, they all belong to you.
Yes.
And so we thank Jesus, because he was coming into the world, which he had made. The world was made by him. The Bible says the world knew him not. See, and so, but he was in the world, and he had come to show and display that he has all power, even over the most difficult thing that we deal with in this world. And we know how death can rock your apple cart.
Oh, yes.
We've all experienced that.
Yes.
Every time I have an opportunity to serve or even go and attend a funeral, I see people in every place, and I remember myself in regard to all those people, where they are based on their age. I see little kids who don't quite get it. We don't quite understand what's happening here. We see some that are distracted because, why are they so upset? And then we see some that actually do get a grip on what really happened, and they're kind of broken and sad. And you remember yourself somewhere along all those ways when you were growing up yourself. Because I remember the same thing. I'm back from a kid.
Yes.
Like, okay, so what's going on here? You don't quite get it, but it takes a while. Then when it really hits you, when you get old enough to understand it, it becomes foreboding, and it starts to be a source of grief and worry. Mm-hmm. You wonder about yourself. How long do I have? You're about the old and young and all different kinds of ages of people checking out. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, as we said, came out of heaven face to face with God the Father in order to come into the world and tackle the most foreboding and scary thing Yes. you and I have to deal with.
Yes.
And that is the problem of death.
Yeah.
See? And that's why it's such an important thing that we talk about it. Why did he do it? His motivation was love, first of all, because he knew that the Father could not be satisfied by anything any of us could do.
That's right.
And we would be hopeless without his provision. Be nothing we could ever do. If you're here and you're thinking, oh, you know, I haven't been so bad, and oh, you know, God's just gonna maybe spank me a little and then take me away because I've got a little sin. God doesn't work that way.
Nope.
When you get to heaven, you need to be perfect.
Right.
And you know what the scripture says? You will get there. He says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. See, so we will get there. Everyone will get there. Jesus even put it this way. He said that the last will be first, and the first will be last. And people have tripped over that for years, and I've always wondered why. Because it's very simple. If the last get there first and the first get there last, what does that mean? That means everyone gets there at the same time. It's very simple. See, in other words, time will cease and it'll be right now. That's it. If you look on the clock, if there happened to be one in heaven, I don't know, this is not in the Bible, but it'll probably say now. There it is. There's no past, no present, no future, now. That's why when they say, God, what's your name? He said, I am.
I am.
I am that I am. That's now, right now. I am. Am is present being, existence, word of existence. See, I am. It don't make no difference when, because when don't exist. I am. See what I'm saying? We talk about we remember when. That's because we're in a time-space continuum. But him who sits high and looks low, he is not in a time-space continuum. That's why Acts, written by Dr. Luke, says, in him we live and move and have our being. Our being exists within the greater being of God. See? And so out of that situation of eternity, he decided to send his son into the world. Jesus was in on the deal. The Bible says he was face to face with the Father. And what was his motivation? The Bible says he loved us.
Yes.
He knew there was no way that we could do anything to make ourselves right. He knew everything the devil was planning. He knew what Adam would do. He knew how they would fall into sin and everybody would be corrupted and hopeless. Mm-hmm. He already knew that.
Yep.
But because of how important freedom is to the factor of love, you can't have any love if you don't have any freedom. So in other words, you have to freely choose God. If you have a significant other or a husband or wife or whatever you may have in your life, if they're not choosing you because they want to, you really don't have a good relationship.
Right.
Something wrong if you got to entice and persuade and all that to get somebody to be with you.
That's right.
Something's wrong with that.
Yes.
You don't have love. Love says, I want to be with you, and I'm going to be with you. It's determined that I will be with you, and we're going to make it work. We're going to be together. It's a thing, a voluntary thing, an act of the will.
Amen.
See, it's not a forced thing. It can't be forced. It can't be coerced. And if you paid for it, that's not enough either. Because folks think they can, well, I'll just pay somebody to be with me. You know what I'm saying. There's a whole lot of folks like that got money, folks hanging with them because of the money. They want to be with you. But if you was penniless, you wouldn't have anybody. A lot of that going on.
Oh, yeah.
You see what I mean? So real love has to do with the will. So Jesus willed to come back and redeem us.
Yes.
Because he knew that it was going to be whacked already. See, and it was his own choice. It says that for the joy that was set before him, the Hebrews writer say he endured the cross, despising the shame. So he knew, hey, you know what? Talk about a cross, that's not some easy thing. That's one of the most hideous type of things you could ever endure. That's extreme torture, excruciating pain, to say the least. And you knew you had to do that, take excruciating pain and extreme torture upon yourself and not sin. That's the part that blows my mind. You can torture me, but I don't think you can do it without me sinning. I don't know, y'all all good. Y'all can take some of that, and y'all. You know what? It takes way less to get us to sin than somebody slapping you or beating you with a lash with straps of leather and teeth and pieces of metal and it's ripping out the flesh out your back, how much of that could you take and not cuss? Or not scream or do something ungodly? You see what I mean? So to me, that is incredible. It's incredible what Jesus did. Because he knew what would happen. He wrote the narrative exactly how it would go down. But yet he loved us. That was his motivation. I love the Father perfectly. And I love those whom he made. See? And they're going to be messed up and somebody's got to fix it. You know, and you know what else? Think about this, and you've heard this before, and I'm just capsizing a few things here and putting them up front so we can spill them out so you can understand it. A spirit cannot bleed.
That's right.
Nope.
A spirit doesn't have flesh and blood. That's what Jesus told them when they saw him. They said, hey, a spirit does not have flesh and blood as you see me have. Mm-hmm. Didn't he say that?
What did he say?
You know, and that's true. Mm-hmm. A spirit is kind of ethereal, kind of an air-like kind of thing that doesn't require flesh and blood. See? And we're going to talk about that just a little. Let me get on. I'm just trying to get you some exposition here to help you have some racks to hang these things on. So what kind of love is this that Jesus has for us? We need to understand it, because when we are called to be disciples, which are learners, that's all it simply means. It's not a fancy word. It just means a learner. You've been called to learn.
Yes.
And learn what? He said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Do you know God's word is filled with love?
Yes. Yes.
It's love that he would put up with me and give me another way to straighten out all the mess that I've done. That's love, that you care that much. We know about that kind of a parental kind of love.
Yes.
Okay, you my child, I really love you, I want you to do right, but what you're doing here, I'm not happy about it. So I need to whack you a time or two or something to get you to turn around. First, I'm going to talk to you, but if that don't work, the sanctions are going to have to be increased.
Oh, yes.
That's how parental love is, right?
Yes.
And what we do and what I do as a father, I have to pray. Because some stuff I don't understand. When kids are older and they're out of your hands, it's like, okay, that's a scary time for a parent.
Yeah.
If they're not well-grounded and you want to know how they're going to do it and how they're going to make it. See? And so it's going to be praying time for me. But with God, he said, you know what, we're going to fix it. And he had a perfect plan. Think about this one just before we read our text. God, everything he does is perfect.
Yes, it is.
The creation he made was perfect.
Perfect.
The people he made, perfect.
Perfect.
The environment they were in, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it, flawless and perfect.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Beautiful and full of wisdom, intense wisdom beyond our comprehension.
Yes.
You know, we got people today who act like, oh, it was just some big accident, a big explosion that caused all this. Because we don't want to be accountable to whoever that is that's so awesome that you could make this and command how stuff is, and you just spoke it and it came to be. That's scary, because we got to deal with you. We ain't going to make it. And it's true. You ain't going to make it if you don't get right with him.
That's right. Amen.
So what they do, though, is they deny him.
Yes.
And even though these people have intense education, according to man's standards, they deny God, so we don't have to be accountable to anybody like that. Boy, we won't be able to stand before him, will we? So let's just say he don't exist and a big explosion caused this. You see? You know, and then we can do whatever we want. We don't have to worry about it. And it's, you know what? We live in a culture who believes that to be true. Well, anything I believe, that's my truth. And whatever you believe, that's your truth. And I can go over here and do my truth, and it ain't going to have nothing to do with what you're doing over there. See? And they're doing some very, very bad things. They don't realize what the real deal is. But the scripture says, and I'm going to put this in a nutshell, then we'll read our text, that God so loved the world that he gave. See what he did? Love is generous. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Y'all know that verse, right? He so loved the world. I like the fact that it says he so loved. And when you say, oh, I so love you, you have to add some more to it in order for you to understand how much
yes,
and how deep this love is. You know, I so love you. Would you feel a little better if somebody just said, I love you, if they say, oh, I so love you? That just adds a little something to it, doesn't it? Like, oh, okay, that's real sweet there. I think I like that. So let's talk about what are the defining factors of the love of Christ, because the discipleship you have been called to is a learning process to learn how to love like Jesus.
Yes.
Now let me say, that way of love is completely contrary to normal human behavior.
Oh, yes it is.
Normal human behavior has a problem. We're going to talk about that. It's got some stuff in it that makes it not ready to do that, not willing to do that, and not able to do that. Some things that are in us because of the fall. We'll talk about that. And then we got some solutions for how we can learn these defining factors of the love of Christ. Now, I said this early on in the study, we have to take time with this just to get your mind in the right framework so you can begin to think about what things do I need to do. First of all, I want to put you at ease. God is going to teach you. God knew there's no way I can even learn how to love like him if he doesn't help me, just yep. like he couldn't redeem the world unless he became flesh, because the spirit can't bleed. God has all the answers.
Yes, he does.
Even down to how can that spirit bleed and be perfect? How can I take on flesh without taking on sin? Since I got to redeem them, I have to be like them. See? Deep questions, deep theological questions. But what about those who are fallen like all of us? Everybody from the time of Adam until now is fallen. In other words, we miss the mark. We fall short of the glory of God. We've got devices in us that are anti-God. We have mindsets and ways of thinking that are, we would just say, evil, just to put it in a box. You see? And it doesn't mean I'm out here doing Charles Manson kind of stuff. But it just means I'm not doing everything to the perfect standard that God does. God is holy. He's perfect.
Yes.
He is without a blemish, without a spot. See, and something as simple as stealing a Marvel comic book. That's stealing. It's not yours.
Yep.
And the Lord said, you shall not steal.
Yep.
See what I mean? Even though we think, Marvel comic book, $2, maybe back then $1.75.
Sure.
See what I'm saying? And it's trivial, but by comparison, it's major, because it's not yours.
That's right.
And God's law says, you shall not steal. You know, you shall not lie.
Yes.
The first thing you do when you steal is you lie normally. Did you take that? Oh, no, I didn't take it. So a lie is as ugly as anything else. Same thing with murder. Did you kill him? No, I didn't do that. Well, where were you at such and such time? Well, I was over on so-and-so. Then you lie. So you deny and you lie. That's why a lie is on the same list with you shall not commit adultery. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. Because if you do these things, it's going to be the lie that covers those things over.
Mm.
So it's just as bad.
Yep.
And I just say that because the law of God is perfect.
Yes.
We're going to see that. Let's take a look at this text here. We looked at Psalm 19 earlier. So today I want to have you take a look just at these verses here in Psalms number 37. This is a Psalm of David. And it says here, 37 verses 1 through 9. Read with me. A Psalm of David, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so thou shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light,
and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. We have read the Old Covenant of Psalms 37, 1 to 9. And now read with me, if you don't mind, from New Testament, the book of Titus, Paul's letter to Titus, starting at chapter 3 and verse number 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle and showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, which he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. We read from the New Testament, the book of Titus. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And we're going to talk, as I mentioned earlier, about defining factors of the love of Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for thinking so much of us that you sent your own son out of eternity to take on a body like ours. And that you had the profound wisdom to make a way to do that without taking on any of Adam's sin. And you came into the world, lived, dwelt among us, and came in order that you might pay the bill and set everything straight for everyone who believes in you. And so, Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his perfect life. We thank you for his perfect way of living and doing things in order to show us and teach us how to love like you do. And so, Father, we don't do it, and we confess it right here this morning, Father. We have a hard time with many of these things that you want us to learn. And so today, God, we ask you to just manipulate our spirit, fluctuate our minds, adjust our way of thinking. Just help us open our ears so we can hear from your Holy Spirit. We know you just filled us with the Holy Spirit. You baptized us in him when you called us into the body of Christ. I'm thinking about some friends that listen to us online that have given me information. Some of them say they have a lot of trouble as well. And so I want to pray for them. I want to pray for Tom Wilkerson and his family.
Yes.
And I want to pray for Jimmy Olson out in Colorado. I want to ask you, Father, touch in their lives, Lord.
Yes.
Connect them in the spirit that you are going to do something about the things that they lack. And so, Father, we just bless you and we trust
bless
you today.
Yes.
I want to pray for the French family while openly today,
yes.
Lord. Touch and bless. Let salvation roll, O God, as a rushing mighty stream. And let many be saved as a result of what happened there. Lord, we ask you to bless us here in St. Timothy. We want to be those who love like Jesus. We have as many obstacles as anyone else, Lord, and maybe more in some cases. So we ask you to look upon us, Father. Help us, Lord, because we are hopeless without your help. And we ask you to come into our lives, God, and change some things. Change the way we think. Change the way we act. Change what we believe. And get us in step with your word. Because we want to serve you, Lord God, no matter what anyone else does. We want to be the people of God. We want to love like Jesus. And we can't do it without your help. So we're calling upon you right now. We ask all this in the name of your son,
Jesus
the Christ. And it's in his righteousness that we pray. And the church said together, amen. Amen. So we're going to pursue this thing. It seems so lofty in some ways, yet Jesus says it's possible. Did you know that? It's not impossible. It's a matter of what do you do with your will, with your mind, with your emotions. And you can take control of these things. This is the stuff that people say you have no control over. But honestly, you do. Why would the Bible tell you stuff like, let not your heart be troubled? That means your heart can be troubled, but Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, take control of how your heart feels about a situation. And don't let it bother you. Wow, but you know what? And you can only accept that if you lean on His provision. Because you're doing something about it, Lord, I don't have to do it. I can say, stop it, heart. Don't be troubled. Get it off my mind. I can meditate on the goodness of somebody who can do something about my problem. I don't have to just dwell on the problem. So you either give the problem more authority than you give God, or you refuse to believe what God said. That's the only two things that can cause you to let your heart keep on being troubled. So, and I don't think He would tell you to do it if He didn't know I gave you the Holy Spirit when you got saved. Listen to my spirit.
Yes.
My spirit is called the Comforter. Whatever it is bothering you, let Him comfort you. Take my yoke upon you. Didn't He say it? And learn from me. My yoke is easy. Why? Because you know I'm good all the way. I'm 100, as we like to say. You ain't got to worry about it here. I got your back all the way. No matter what happened. Even if it's death, I done been through the tomb and got out so you don't have to be worried.
Amen.
So let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then He told you why, your destination. Keep your mind where you're going. You know what? We're worried about where we've been and where we are. Jesus said, think about where you're going.
Yeah.
You know, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I got a place for you.
It wasn't so.
You know, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And He said, if I prepare a place for you, then I will come again. You know, I might show up at any minute.
That's right.
That where I am, I'm going to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
See, so in other words, I covered your biggest worry and your biggest problem.
Already. Thank you, Lord.
So what is, I'm $40 short for the gas bill. Well, that's pretty small compared to, I have a place laid up for you in heaven. You think He can take care of the $40?
Oh, yes.
I believe He can. He knows about it. He don't want you in the cold. See? But here the psalmist says another one. Let's look at this. A psalm of David. Fret not thyself. Look at that. You see this all through the word. He said, fret not thyself. Fretting is when you go, oh, well, and you start to go into the negative about how this is going to do me. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. You see all the evil at your door in the streets as you're going forth. Come, you flip on the news and scares the daylights out of you. Folks are doing crazy stuff. But He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be ye envious of the workers of iniquity. Sometimes we look at folks who don't even go to church. And they look like they rolling and highballing. Look at how all the stuff they got. And we start to look at their progress. You know, and say, well, they're way ahead of us. And you start to look at people and compare yourself with others. And they may not even care about God at all. Oh, look at the cast of Empire. Oh, my God. They rolling in high order, living in the big mansion out in so and so. But the Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Why? For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither and the green herb. Now this is what you do on the other hand. Trust in the Lord and do good. That's just the opposite. The folks you're worried about. It says here, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. God says, I got you. You'll be covered. Delight thyself in the Lord. Don't just trust me, but delight yourself. When it looks like, oh, you know, are people getting ahead of me and I should be doing something else, and oh, maybe I waste my time too much praying and stuff like that. No. Delight yourself in me.
Delight yourself.
Get in the Lord. Delight yourself in Him.
Yes.
Try it about a few days to start with. Try it one day first. And then if you like it, try it again another day. I'm not saying don't be productive. I'm not saying don't go to work. I'm saying while you are being productive, while you're on your way to work, while I'm on my way down the street, even if I'm sitting on a Netflix binge, I know the Lord is in my mind. He's in my life. And this is fantasy. I can separate fantasy from reality.
That's right.
And I trust God because he is my source.
Yes.
And he already told me, trust him and do good. Yeah. See that? And he says, and you shall inherit the land and you shall be fed. God says, I'll cover you for what you need. Now, see, Jesus always knew that people had trouble with different things and understanding who God is and what God was about to do for them. See, commit thy way. Now, that's another one. Go from delight. If you keep doing this, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. In other words, instead of worrying and trying to figure it out, God's got something going on for you. And I'm not going to take time to tell you my testimony, because sometimes it looks like I go through lean periods with different stuff. I have people question me about, what, do you think you retired too early? I said, no, you know what? Yep. God put it in my spirit to retire.
Yeah. All right.
So I told him, bye, see. Filled out my slip, went downtown.
All right.
Filled it out, and I am not sorry. So maybe you're sorry because you don't think it's going the way you think it ought to. But God told me what to do.
Yes.
And I'm delighting in him and in the power of his might.
Yes.
See? So it may not look like stuff is going the way you think it should, but you know what he said? Delight thyself in the Lord and commit thy way unto the Lord. In other words, take up a commitment. Put yourself in a commitment status with God. I'm going to be on time. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to go where God tells me to go. I'm going to not be ashamed of the gospel. See? Realize who you are in Christ and what your purpose is in the Lord.
Amen.
You know what? It's not unusual. I read about some other folk. I read that Peter and them were fishing, came back with nothing in Luke 5. I talked with y'all about this before. And they were cleaning up their nets.
Yep.
And Jesus told them, throw them nets back down there. So they looked at him like, maybe they went crazy. Nothing down there. We've been out there all night. What do you mean? He said, okay, well, I'll throw one down there. I told y'all that story in Luke 5. But read it. You know what he found out? He found out that Jesus is God. Because he pulled up the one pitiful net he threw down and was breaking the net, and the fish was sinking the boat. And he said, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. You have to be God for what I just saw. It was such a major thing. But you know what? He told him, leave your nets and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Can you imagine that, leaving a lucrative fishing business? And you've been doing this all your adult life, and you're going away from it now. And your folks at home are saying, are you sure about that? Did God really call you to do that? How are we going to put food on the table? How are we going to pay the bills? And they followed him for 3.5 years.
Yep.
You know, when you walk with God, God said, I got your back. Delight yourself in him.
Oh, yes.
He'll give you the desires of your heart. He didn't say necessarily in 10 minutes. Or tomorrow, it may be longer than you think. But if he got you covered and he's covering you, why are you worried? Notice what else it says, rest in the Lord. Now you've seen several commands here, and I'm not going to take time with a lot of them because our time's getting away quick. But he said, trust in the Lord, delight thyself in the Lord, commit thy way to the Lord, and trust in the Lord. And now he said, rest in the Lord. In other words, get comfortable there. No matter what you see.
Yes.
No matter how it looks.
Yes.
No matter what anybody says.
Yes.
Folk talking about, well, you know, oh, the government is really a mess, right? Okay. But are you worried? You know, you shouldn't be.
Nope.
You shouldn't be. It's amazing. Well, we got to build a wall all the way across the whole 2,000 miles. Yeah. So, oh, you do. Well, what happened with El Chapo when he was already in the jail, way up in the in the jail, and they dug up to the bottom of his jail and took him out.
Yes, they did.
You must have missed that one on the news, sir. They went under your wall and went right up into jail and bought him out, and he was over back in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Well, hello. Mm-hmm. And not only that, what about the 3,000-mile border across Canada? What are we going to do, build a wall there? Are we going to build a wall on the Atlantic and the Pacific coast? Are you going to stop airplanes from flying in? I digress, but let me move on. I don't think so. It's really ridiculous. And you think that's going to really help you? How about trust in the Lord and do good? Commit your ways to the Lord. How about rest in the Lord? Commit yourself to God. That's what you don't do, but that's what you ought to do. And then he said, I'll give you everything good. But you think you can do it by might and by power. But the Bible said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. Is that right?
That's right. Amen.
So the psalmist is getting a message here. He says, because when you commit your ways to the Lord, he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. And because he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way. Because the man, he says, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Crazy, isn't it? Cease from anger and forsake wrath. We like anger and wrath. But I want to be mad. I want to get you told. You got to get told. I want to cut you up one side and down the other. You know, I told y'all I used to be like that a long time ago. I delighted myself in cutting you so low you can sit on a cigarette paper and swing your leg. But I've changed my way of thinking.
Thank you, Jesus.
See,
thank you, Jesus.
Because I don't have to do that. That's unbecoming to the Lord. Notice what he say there. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Well, that's a hard one for us there. We take gratification in blowing somebody away and saying, hasta la vista, baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We see that. We glorify that kind of thing in the movies and all that kind of stuff. You know? Or, go ahead, make my day.
Yeah.
We like that, you know? But God says, cut that out.
Yes, he did.
Because evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. And Paul says this, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers. That means governments, rulers, people who God has set over you. Do you know there are no rulers in your life? I don't care if it's in Jennings or St. Louis or Wellston, in Washington or in Jeff City, make no difference, the Kremlin, name somewhere on earth, Moscow. None of them are there that God didn't allow to be there. And I didn't skip Pennsylvania Avenue, I might add. But there's nobody on Pennsylvania Avenue at the White House that God did not allow to be there. See, and you know what? God can, he put them there, he can set them down. And in between, he said, make yourself subject to principalities and powers. We are to be law-abiding citizens. I'm not going to get out and march in a march against something for a reason that people have had where they don't think God has any bearing on it. We got to go and make City Hall do this, that, and the other. Oh, you do. That's not what the scripture says. So he says here, put them in mind. In other words, remind them to be subject to principalities and powers and to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. That's kind of a different attitude, isn't it? He says here, why? Because for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the way we were before we got saved. Some of us are thinking, well, I was like that 5 minutes ago. I'm going to be like that in 20 minutes when I see this sucker that owes me $25. Well, we flop around in and out of being this way, don't we?
Yep.
See, he says, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. That means Jesus came out of eternity and became flesh. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. He wasn't impressed with our good works. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, see, that's the part I like. The Spirit is given to you when you believe the gospel. He's in there for a reason. He's in there for a purpose, to develop you and make you the man or woman God wants you to be. See, and if you happen to make it to New Prospect, there's a big part of this that you're going to really be blessed with.
All right.
And we hope that you will, because we have another message for them. This is their Men and Women's Day, and I'll just tell you, expose to you right now, that the topic is about men and women. It's called Men and Women Made in the Image of God. That's the theme for their service there.
Okay.
And we'll try to put that one on mine too. But this is what I want you to go with here today. He says, remember who's in charge. In other words, if we summarize what Paul writes to Titus, that being justified by his grace, that we should be heirs, made heirs, according to the hope of eternal life. That's a higher thing that's been given to you than anything going on this earth.
Right.
You know what? I couldn't get a higher honor if they told me, oh, I'm going to give you the White House and you move right up here. That wouldn't be as high of an honor as the fact that I'm justified by God's grace.
Yes.
And that I'll be an heir according to the hope of eternal life. See that? This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard this in a church? You might have. You probably did. I hope you did. But you don't hear it as much as you should. Paul told Titus, affirm these things constantly. In other words, make sure people know how to act, how to behave, how to look at government, how to look at their life and the things going on in their life. See that? And he says that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto me. In other words, I can be a law-abiding citizen and God's going to bless my actions and my activities. I don't have to go pushing people around, demanding this, that, and the other. Do what God's assignment is to you. Trust him. Do good. Don't worry about them. That's not your job. You're not here to police them or anything. See? And it's when you begin. And if you love like Jesus, that's what he did.
That's what he did.
Think about it. He came and they said, oh, you know, we got to get Pilate on you because you ain't right. You are doing stuff. And they had the government all stirred up. Pilate, if you don't do something to him, you are no friend of Caesar. Sick him. Get him. We don't want him. Crucify him. Think about it. They got the government involved. We don't think of them as the government when we're thinking about what happened to Jesus. And God already knew they would do that.
That's right.
He really did.
Yeah.
So based on the teaching from the Holy Scriptures, the entire predicament of mankind without God's mercy and intervention is totally grim and shall conclude in everlasting separation and destruction, known as the second death. That's what the scripture says for people who do not get on God's program and trust in Jesus Christ, his Savior, the only mediator between God and man.
Only mediator.
Is they are in a terrible predicament. This predicament that I will call the plight of mankind. That's the plight of all mankind that's lost.
Yep.
If Amen. You're not right, you don't get right before you take your last breath, when you don't know when that'll be, then you are going to go to the second death. And you think the first death is an ugly thing. Wait till you get in the second death, which never ends. The first one really doesn't end in one sense. But if you have eternal life and you're born again, that one can, you can have a new life. See, in Christ Jesus, and it will end in the eternal state like we talked about in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, then I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So I want to trust him. I'm on that program.
Yes.
I don't know where y'all want to be. Because
yes.
I understand the plight of man. All people have sinned and come short of the glory of God, including us.
Yes.
But God has made a way for us to get free. And it's one way. There's not 15 like the culture thinks today. Oh, well, that's your truth, and this over here is my truth. There's one truth. One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Salvation and no other.
No other. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So as human society continues on this path of leading to complete destruction as a result of thinking that we can somehow be okay without the intervention of God, but rather doing things our own way rather than God's way, the evidence of the fallen choices of humanity just proceed from bad to worse. This is because of an open denial It's an open denial of denying obvious facts that everything we achieve in the flesh misses the mark of what God requires. See that? So I don't care what you build. You can build whatever you want. It can be beautiful and it can be working well for you and all that, but you will not skip what God has said.
No way.
You will not. No matter what you do and how glorious it may seem, you will not skip it.
No way.
God will have the final say when it's all done. So this is the open denial of what God says is a terrible thing for you and me and anyone who attempts to do it. And so as fallen people, we simply, with so-called good works, cloak over our evilness and try to get by with things that, and good works have never worked. They have never been good enough. Otherwise, the Jews would be saved. They wouldn't need Jesus. If you can live perfectly, and I always tell people, the law can save you if you can keep it from the womb to the tomb. If you haven't done that, you need Jesus. That's very easy. See what I'm saying? So once we come to realize that God has loved us in spite of our fight, and that's the whole thing. Man wants to do it his own way, so it's kind of a fight. I'm fighting with God, struggling and kicking, trying to do it my way, instead of just giving in and saying God has made a way. And I don't have to fight or struggle. So I'm in my plight, and the rest of my time, if I don't trust Jesus, I'm in my fight. And I'm fighting my way to try to be right. Or either I'm denying that it even exists. Somebody's in one of those states or another. And it's still a fight against the truth, because God loves you and you're fighting against him. He made a way for you to be right. All you have to do is accept it. Stop the fight. Surrender. Tell God you love him. You love him back. You gave your son for me. God, I love you back. And be saved. Then you don't have to have a fight with God. Because a fight with God, you're going to lose. Let me let you know. You see that? So once we come to realize that God has loved us in spite of our fight, and to be right without him, that's what we try to do, and therefore has chosen to provide us a perfect covering to completely heal the breach in our relationship with him through the total and voluntary sacrificial provision of the death of his son Jesus, whom he raised from the dead to ratify every promise which he has made and to give assurance of his love and acceptance to us in spite of our many transgressions. He did this. Then we can live and we can also walk in what I like to call the delight. You don't have to be in the fight, you can be in delight. So it's the plight, the fight, and the delight. Which one would you like?
The delight.
See what I'm saying? I do. Delight thyself. That's what the psalmist said. Also in the Lord. Stop the fight. You can't fix it yourself. You can stop the fight. Some people think I'm just going to fight and deny it all the way down. In fact, I saw a commercial, and I have to say this, and I know we're over time. Did you see the commercial from Reagan Sun? He says he's a National Church of Atheists, and I guess I read what it says, and I don't even mind burning in hell. And he's on TV talking about he doesn't mind burning in hell. Did you see that? Yeah, it's on TV. What you do for that is you pray.
Yes.
Now, he may not want it. He probably doesn't. He says he doesn't. That's the fight. I'm fighting against the obvious truth. This whole world is configured around Jesus. If you don't see it, something's wrong with your brain.
Yeah, right.
You have a problem.
Yes.
It's 2019 because God sent his son Jesus into this world. Figure it out, explain how the whole world got onto a tangent why you don't believe Jesus exists. Think about that. You think he's not non-existent, I don't need to worry about it. Well, why is the whole world counting time based on Jesus? Ask yourself the question. And he said he so loved you, he gave his only begotten son. But there's been a lot of open atheists in the world, so we got to be careful. But we needed to deal with this in order to get to the place where we can understand and, as I call it, the defining factors of the love of Christ. It's something God already chose before we were born. John, in 1 John, says this, and we'll be done. This is the message which we have heard from him. And we declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness and walk in darkness, he says, we lie. And the truth is not in us. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
Yes.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So that's for the whole world.
Wow.
So don't go around talking about these churches over here. They talk about sin, so, oh, we don't want to go there. You need to go there. You need to hear the truth.
Yes.
And then you can walk in the truth. You can't walk in the truth if you don't hear it. The word of God can't wash you if you don't let it.
That's right.
See? And he said he would cleanse and sanctify his bride by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. See? So the Holy Spirit is going to clean you up. I need it. I'm going to stand right here and confess.
Yes.
I need to be cleansed. I have some whack ways of thinking. I don't even want to think it. I need the Spirit of God to cleanse my mind and my thought process.
Oh.
I'm not the most easy. I mean, I get upset pretty quick, especially if I'm driving. Some of y'all roll with me. It's like, oh my goodness, so you forget that you preach. And say, okay, well, then I have to go back and repent. And I have to reanalyze how you acted and why you did that way. See, and I'm checking myself all the time. It's not really me checking myself. The Spirit said, you know that was wrong.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit is checking. Because otherwise, when before you got saved, you wouldn't even give a hoot.
Right.
Cuss homo-po. Cutting in my space. I was trying to get in there. What are you doing? You know. And so you have to learn how to check yourself and let the Spirit check you so you can stop being the way you are.
Yes.
And don't feel like you lost something.
Right.
Oh, I lost that one because I didn't call them three different kinds of things. You didn't lose nothing. You won.
Right.
Because the Spirit said, I give you the victory. Delight yourself.
Yes.
I'm walking in the delight.
Right.
See, God is light and I'm walking in delight.
The light.
Yeah. All right.
See, that's the way we got to get.
Right.
Get where we're walking in delight.
Right.
And I'm being funny now. But if you're here and you're not saved, we do want to invite you to come to Christ. Amen. He loves you. You have never done anything that he doesn't know about. And even in spite of that, he still loves you.
Still loves you.
And he'll accept you right now. You won't get better if you don't come to him. Yep. You must come to him because he's the only way you can be clean. In spite of what the culture says. We'll have more to say about that. Hopefully you'll make it to the other service this evening because there are some more things that God, the Spirit has put on my heart. But if you're here today, come to Jesus right now. He loves you. He will wash you. He will cleanse you. He will sanctify you. He accepts you right now. And I love to preach the good side of the gospel. I really do. God loves you. He accepts you right now, just like you are. Yep. He's got an open door for you. And he said, if you just take my hand, come to me. And somebody even wrote a song, put your hand in the hand of the man that steal the waters. See, and he will get you right. He'll make your life right. Amen. If you're seeking membership in the church, and the church is the organism that will exist when heaven and earth have passed away, he says that my word will never pass away.
Yep.
You know, we're not looking for the second death. We're looking for the new heaven and the new earth. See, wherein righteousness dwells forever and ever. So you want to be a part of the church. Not Homestead Baptist, some people say. You know, because the scripture says, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Come to church. Why? Because God has some things to talk to you about. He's got stuff he needs to minister to you about. Things in your life he wants to adjust. And he wants you to feel good about him. You know what? Sometimes it's hard to feel good about God. Because we just feel like we feel, and we go, okay, you know, man, God, how many of have you, and I'm going to shut up here a minute, y'all know y'all saying stuff here, but how many of you have had a feeling that, oh, God might just smite me at any minute because I'm so one way or another? Have you ever thought that? You know, you think that sometimes. And God is looking at you like, well, you know what? I know all about everything you're thinking.
Amen.
And I still love you.
Yeah.
And I just sent my son, and if you just listen to my spirit, you're going to get over it. And I already see the victory. You know, God sees you in eternity. Did you know that? The golden chain in Romans says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And them he predestined, these he also called. Them he called, he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. So your salvation is done to God. You just don't know it. You ain't caught up yet. You haven't caught up, but in God's mind, it's done. You're complete.
Right.
See, so just praise him. Thank him. Talk to him. Let him do the work. Don't fight with him. Don't wrestle with the Holy Spirit. You know, and he will allow you to do it. Let's go ahead. We'll go ahead and make preparations to move along here. Sorry about that. I digress. All right. So we have done as God commands. We see the door done. But yet there is room. We hope you did get a good word from our message today. Amen.